Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home, or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Your name, please, your name.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Del for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. Wow, what a night. What a night. That was incredible. And that's all I'm seeing now is the hypocrisy. So that's the first red card of the tournament.
No, it's not.
That's what somebody had said.
No, somebody else was on a red earlier. The other day. No, they were wrong. There's already been a red.
There's already been a red card in the first match.
Yeah, that's not true. It's the first of the knockout round. First of the knockout
round.
I don't know
how many steps on the back of the legs that were not red cards. Messi.
No, Messi, yeah. Now, I saw one that was, though. I've watched so many of these. I've seen one that was. I got to tell you, let's get it all out of the way. And I'm going to, because Dell watched a ton of soccer, I'm going to need you to weigh in here. When I watched it and when I saw it and when they play it, you know, in slow motion, which they have to, and I get the speed of the game and all that stuff. He's not here. I thought he was in big trouble because Balogun is not making a play on the ball. And then when you step, when you're on the leg for that long, man, that was a – I mean, I get in a situation you don't want Balogun to go because that's the reason Messi didn't go. Let's just be honest. It's Lionel Messi. That's the reason he didn't get a red card. Because he should have had a red card for that.
Pochettino disagrees with you.
Oh, obviously. He's the manager.
Watching it after, and he's not alone. There were a lot of people.
All Americans.
A lot of soccer people that said it's not a red card.
I know. They're all Americans, too. No. I don't want it to be.
No, that's not true. They're not all Americans.
Okay, so.
Watching it after on TV, it was never the intention to step onto the player. It's a normal action in football that happens by accident. It's never intentional. It's never a red card. Today, in all the 50-50 decisions, none were for us. And the players reacted very well. We controlled that emotional part of the game. That's so important. How they managed the situation was amazing. We showed maturity.
All I know is after it happened, they showed in slow motion. They kept, I was like, this is going to be a red.
That's the issue for some. They apparently VAR misapplied their own rules. You're not supposed to judge it by slow motion because, as everyone points out.
Well, how do you do it if it's
still pictures?
It looks worse in still pictures in slow motion. Yes. Particularly because the referee did not judge it to be that type of foul. You're not supposed to run it in slow motion and go, all right, now come over. If you don't see it in regular motion, then okay, that's it.
So you have to have the intent, because this is the one problem I have with soccer is that the rules, and maybe it's I just don't know it well enough, but the rules seem open for interpretation. It's constantly like a Supreme Court decision where, okay, well, yes, he did that, but there was not the ability, you did not see him. And when the rules people come on, they do explain it pretty well. But there's always these interpretations of the rules. Like, okay, so he did something that can get you a red. Without question, he got a red for it. But it has to be determined there is intent to injure to get a red?
No, it doesn't have to be that, because if you're reckless, even if you're not trying
is another one.
You go over the, like, if you, like, the one of the big ones that happens quite a bit is of a challenge in the ball and you're studs up and you go over the ball and you hit a guy high in his shin, you could get a red card. This was the case I was asked about it by Dustin And he tweeted out the text. This is like when a safety is coming down to make a play on the ball in college football, and and the receiver ducks to protect himself. And what do you want the safety to do?
But they split second. They still get thrown out.
And people get thrown out. And that's the issues with targeting. This was initiated contact by the Bosnia Herzegovina player, and Balogun off balance. Where is his leg supposed to go other than, unfortunately, on top of this guy's ankle?
Yeah, I don't think it's on purpose. Now, would it be considered reckless because he didn't make a play on the ball that was in front of him?
Well, I think
that's what I was worried about.
The issue was he was going for the ball, and then he was contacted by the Bosnian player, which led to him being off balance, and he had to put his leg someplace. And unfortunately, the place where his leg landed was near the calf and then down to the ankle, and it led to what it led to. I was asked about it. Everyone tweets about it because some Americans don't know. They're watching this for the first time intently, and they want to know, is there an appeals process? FIFA doesn't have that mechanic. The only way...
Now, did you hear, I thought it was Henri or Zlatan. Zlatan said it could be more than one game.
Yeah, that's the
issue. You hope it's just one.
There's no guarantee.
No chance.
There's no guarantee that it's just the one.
No chance it's more than one. That'd have to be serious.
We just know that it's at least one, but a straight red, that's up to decisions. Like,
but a red is always one game suspension.
It's not always. It depends on what. It depends on what they think your intent or the level of
violence. Hold on. In the World Cup?
Nope. There's no guarantee that it's just the one.
No. I mean, there's always a suspension.
It's at least one.
It's at least one. That's what I mean.
There's at least one. They don't rescind these, and there's no appeal. Ronaldo was in trouble before the tournament, but FIFA came in and said his violent contact will rescind the card. So FIFA could just go, we rescind it. But there's no appeal process for the U.S. to work through and get
it done. FIFA could still potentially rescind?
They don't do it, but they could be the ones who decide that's not a red, but there's no way for the U.S. to go through an actual process to get it rescinded.
Look, for those who don't know, the U.S. won yesterday against Bosnia-Herzegovina 2-0. 2-0 may not sound much, but they were pretty dominant. I mean, the U.S. was in control of that. Bosnia-Herzegovina did not look very good. They were not a very good attacking team. The U.S.'s top scorer, Balogun, scored his third goal in three World Cup matches. He didn't play the third match. And then in the second half was involved in a play where his cleat stepped on the ankle, the Achilles area of a player. They looked at it on the video, and they determined he had a red card. Red card is automatic ejection. You get two yellows to get ejected. Well, it's like having two technicals, right? Or you get the flagrant two, boom, and you're gone. That's basically what they called there, just to put it in basketball terms. He's out, and it's an automatic out for the next match. Well, the next match is Belgium, who had a miracle win against Senegal 3-2. And so now you take on a very veteran. Now this is hardly a good Belgium team, but it's a very veteran team with a big old bully in the middle in Romelu Lukaku. It's a team that knows how to play, and you don't have your top scorer. And this guy has been a massive difference maker. And so that's why, as soon as this happened, I'm like, this is major, major trouble. Number one, you had to fade being down one man for that long. And had they equalized, you would have been playing a man down throughout all of the extra time. I mean, it would have been a nightmare. The U.S. did an amazing job, and we'll talk about that. But this is what I didn't think on the broadcast. I couldn't tell. I was at a location. But were they talking about the fact? I didn't hear them. They had the sound on. I didn't hear them talking about the fact that Balogun's going to be gone next match. Like, they weren't really harping on that to me.
Well, they're in the middle of
and then you got to win this game.
They're in the middle of a knockout round game. And
right.
You're down.
Right afterwards, they did say he's not available for the. Because my wife was like, what? He can't play the next match,
exactly.
too?
Exactly.
Like, yep, that's it. That's all.
And that's this is a major deal. I mean, this is your top scorer. It's your top striker. It's like not having KD.
Well.
But only for one and not three.
Well.
Not really. It's even worse.
No, that's not.
It's actually worse.
I think the U.S. is better prepared than the Rockets are, honestly.
Yeah, listen. Actually, you're right.
How about Belgium coming back down in the 84th minute, down two goals?
They scored twice. It was so Everton.
And what a call. That was a questionable penalty kick in the box, a penalty
kick.
Yeah,
the game has ended because of a PK call that was. I thought that one was an even. I was like, wow.
Wow.
That's
he kind of grabbed him a little bit around the waist.
Don't you let him play a little bit there, ref?
Oh, my gosh. That was a call.
Well, he did.
Senegal, I'm like, what the?
And then VAR came in and go, hey, come look at that. Or VAR, come look at that. And that. And then when he looked at it, this is a case where you can slow it down because it's not adjudicating a red card. And he said that. I think it was Tielemans who was the Belgian player who got fouled.
Yeah,
well, there's a little kick to the back of his leg as the ball was approaching, and that was enough.
That's what they call.
That was enough to.
But they've been letting so many of these go in the box. They almost never call it.
And how about that he did? You're not supposed to slow it down. You're not supposed to use still pictures, and he did it both.
In penalty kick situations, you can, but. But
no,
red
I'm
card.
Talking about.
Yeah, well,
what's
yeah,
the
you're not allowed. You're not allowed to.
And he did though.
Well, how do we know him. He did? Was he?
Well, it's not him. It's
well,
VAR.
They, the process did.
The process yeah. did, and he got the chance to look at these still images. But of course, Americans started to dig into the rule book.
It was misapplied.
You're not supposed to slow down, look at still images to make your decision on whether to bring the ref over. Once the ref is over there, then he gets all the images to see. But the people in the booth, you know, the three guys we see before the game, I don't know why we have to be introduced to them before every game, they're not supposed to do that. They're not supposed to use slow motion to judge whether the ref needs to take another look at it. Because, of course, once you bring him over and you have a still shot of an ankle nearly being flat on the ground because he's been stepped on, that's going to lead to a red card. And that's what happened.
Yeah. Well, the U.S. moves on, although controversially. Balogun with the first goal, and then you got to play the sound from
call.
Telemundo. Telemundo's call of Malik Tillman's goal.
Great goal.
That goal,
great
was
goal.
Fantastic. Down a man, a free kick, lined up in front of him, and he put it the only place he possibly could. What a that was Messi like, the way that ball curved, went in, just touched by the goalie and gets in, sneaks in. That was as good a goal. I don't know if Colin Cowherd, he says, could be the greatest goal in American history. You know, maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe, although they were up a goal.
I mean, it was a big one because you really flatlined their chances.
It was huge.
Yeah, you're man down a man. Like, you had to.
And down a man.
They kept attacking, too.
And, no. Listen, the time of possession ended up 52-48 in favor of Bosnia because after they went a man down, the U.S. went a man down, it was all Bosnia just controlled the game. And great job by Fries, great job by the defense, just a fantastic job all the way around. But the U.S. had very few chances, and this was one of them. And this is the call. It's not working. We'll get to you.
Yeah, we'll get.
But
to
the
it.
Call we'll by Cantor, Andres Cantor, was just is just.
Was that Cantor who did it?
Yeah,
was saying that's what I figured. I mean, it sounded like his signature call.
Yeah, it is. He's the.
That's Tillman. I just heard Tillman. And then you hear that in the rest.
And
of
then
it.
The goal. He was. It was. We'll play it for you as soon as we can. But what a night. What a great night. And I don't know if I agree with Art, but I tell you what, I had the hair on my arms was sticking up a little bit with Country Road being played after the game, you know, and all the Americans singing it in America. I don't think we should replace it. We got to do that butt thing. But, you know, it's weird that Country Roads is now the national anthem.
I know.
But. You know, I don't know that there's a song that's more American than that.
I was watching with English fans yesterday, the England match, and there during timeouts in the bar, they're playing Sweet Caroline. And
yeah.
They're going, when I say timeouts, you know, you're not supposed to have timeouts, but you know what I mean.
But we do.
Hydration commercials.
Right.
And they were screaming Sweet Caroline, which I guess is their song, or maybe it's a lot of. It's just so random that an old John Denver song from, I think they said it's 78. And a Neil Diamond song from the early 80s. These are recycled as stadium bangers. It's just so strange to me.
Well,
but it's what it is. And somebody told me that They had some songs for international people to choose. Is that true?
Yeah, you were given options about what you want. Well, the Country Roads thing was an American. Yeah, they put it up for the U.S. Federation to figure out some. I forgot there was a woman who was in charge of that, and she had a couple songs to pick from, and she picked that. But every federation was given the option of picking what song they wanted to play after wins, after goals, all that stuff.
I feel like we should get a pick something.
This show?
Yeah, this show during the show. Right now, 713.
We got to do that butt thing.
We'll see it and see if that sounds. I mean, y'all play Baton Rouge. Of course, that's in Baton Rouge for LSU.
Right.
A lot of songs. Florida plays the Tom Petty song. Florida plays a Tom Petty song between the third and fourth quarter.
Won't back down.
Virginia Tech plays Enter Sandman.
You've got Jump Around was one of the first from Wisconsin. Mr. Brightside is Michigan. Texas, I can't remember what the Longhorns play. They play something too. So why can't our listeners come up with some new stadium songs that we should be able to sing? That deserve more attention to sing. You can go way back, like, you know, if you want to go all the way back, then you can do You Have to Believe We Are Magic by Olivia Newton-John or something like that. Apparently, I have to pick something from the late 70s, early 80s. Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. I don't know. I'd do Burn Rubber on Me by the Gap Band. That's what I would do.
A Chase, Big West Virginia. There's nothing weird about Country Roads, boys. It's America's song forever now. And it might be. It might be America's song.
It's just a lot of people don't go to West Virginia. That's what's so strange. Like,
I know.
West Virginia! But, you know what? Mountain Mama!
Well, there's no more American sounding song than that. You know, that's just country.
Well, he's got a nice, simple, soft voice, you know, and obviously it's an easy song to sing. It's got some movement to it. But I just feel like we should be able to pick something out. So You're Having My Baby by Jodeci. That's weird. That'd be weird.
Having
I guess.
My Baby.
That's Jodeci, but the one you're talking about is Paul Anka. You're Having My Baby. The other one is So You're Having My Baby. And it means so much to me.
No, we're not. No. How? Hey.
What about Hit 'Em Up by Tupac in the stands?
Yeah. What about taking a break, and we'll see if we can't get the call on the other side right here on ESPN. Andres Cantor next right here. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. Houston's only FM sports station. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Did you see those two people climbing the Empire State Building, the spire?
Yeah,
and they put up a flag?
And then somebody photoshopped the flag, but I can't remember what they put.
It said, bring Gilbert a steak anyway.
Oh, that's right.
That's Tony.
Yeah, Tony.
Did not say bring Gilbert a steak anyway. All right? Although Gilbert wants a steak, I can see, you know, that being something that he would ask people to do, but that's not what they had up there. They said it was something about peace, and no, people couldn't. I saw it live, but you couldn't read it yet. But anyway.
We're getting some songs. Back that thing up, also known as back that ass up.
I know. We might as well just do. We're gonna do that butt thing.
Well, both songs are about butts. So
yeah, I mean that's America, right?
We got
there.
Whoop, There It Is, which would be easy. It's also a throwback song. We know it's easy in stadiums. We know it's been a stadium banger. Cherry Pie, by who is it? Warrant. She's My Cherry Pie. It's mostly about women and thinly veiled sexual stuff. So far, all of our songs, except Whoop, There It Is. Well, unless it is referring to something there. I don't know.
Yeah. We got, here's the call, the Telemundo call. of Malik Tillman's goal. If you haven't heard it yet, it's awesome.
La carrera de Tillman. Ahí va Tillman.
You want to translate? I know what dos acero means.
And más importante.
Importante.
What about of
his,
the other
of his
words?
Life, the biggest goal of his life.
There it is.
It was his first international goal.
By far.
First, I don't know if it's first international.
Well,
goal.
First World
or
Cup.
First World Cup.
I thought they said first international, but maybe not.
I'd have to look.
No, it wasn't. They said he had scored a goal in
he
another.
He had three previous goals.
Yeah, yeah.
First World Cup goal, certainly.
Yes. But he said he had other. But that was, I mean, it's not even close. That was huge. Maybe one of, it's certainly got to be one of the biggest goals in U.S. history.
It is the it is the first goal from a free kick in a World Cup for the U.S. since, directly from a free kick.
2002?
No, since 1994, since the last American World Cup.
It almost never, free kicks almost, Eric first of all, you don't see it often.
Eric Winalda scored in the first match against Switzerland in Pontiac Silverdome. They could put grass in a dome back then, too. He scored there after the U.S. was trailing 1-0 in their first World Cup match in that World Cup. They hadn't scored a goal from a direct free kick since. Some other synergy from yesterday's game. The U.S., last time they played a knockout round game on home soil, there was a red card in that one, too. It was Brazil getting a red card for breaking Tab Ramos's jaw with an elbow. Brazil went on to win that game as well. And it was also in Northern California, Palo Alto, this time Santa Clara. But so a little synergy there. And also, but this time we went 2-0 instead of losing 1-0. And it's our first knockout round win since 2002. So Mexico ended their curse 2 nights ago. We ended ours last night.
How about that? Well, and now we got to get to the quarters for the first time.
No, we've been to the quarters before.
Oh, no, I mean, yeah, right.
When we beat Mexico in that 2002 right. game, Dos Acero, where all that began. But now we got a chance against a Belgium team they're lacking. Despite what they did in the final 20 or so minutes of regular time and then extra time.
82nd minute.
I mean, I don't remember how long there was as far as extra time or added time. So it might have been 20. It might have been from 85 to whatever. But they were bad for the better part of 80 minutes.
Yeah. And Senegal had – how bad? I felt bad for Senegal. And they scored, boom, scored again, boom. It was like, oh, my God. Senegal was just freaking. They're thinking 80th minute, we're up two goals. We're going. And then first game.
I'm used to that kind of stuff. That didn't even shake me.
Harry Kane – he ties it with a header that was just beautiful, and then the goalie scored to win it.
I didn't think he could get it from that angle.
Was fabulous. It was unbelievable how good that goal was.
You can say fabulous. Say it, John.
Fabulous.
Okay. You started to say it was. I don't know how he made that.
I don't know.
A half turn, and he just hit the rocket in there.
Thierry Henry explained. He goes, you don't understand when you're running full speed and you got to – stop, and you got to hit. You got to hit the ball with your laces, but he didn't hit it with his laces. He hit it with the side of his foot, and it was a rocket into that
top shelf.
Just fantastic.
England moves on. They'll be lambs to slaughter against Mexico if they play like that.
Yeah, they can't play like that.
Mexico will handle them. They're not going to sleep. They're going to have to keep it secret where they're staying.
Yeah, right. Or not stay in Mexico. Go there the day of the game.
Yeah. Stay in like whatever the closest U.S. city is. Go stay there and then fly the day of the game. Yeah, you're right. Or go stay in a different city. Go stay in Mexico City.
They'll find you. They will find you.
They're going to, and they'll report it.
And they'll be, yeah, but that's just not.
Because there was some big Mexican Twitter account that said, guys, who did they play? They played Ecuador. Ecuador has made it into their hotel, and it said the hotel, and are looking for a peaceful night's sleep to get ready to play Mexico. That's all it said. Like, oh,
it's odd.
Weaselly.
You know what? The cops have got to stop that. They got
to
stop that.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're going to.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Mexican cops who have had issues with being in with the cartel is going to stop fans.
English security's got to stop it.
English security? Well, you think those blokes are going to do something?
Yeah.
Against Mexican fans?
Did you see English fans? Stay in your lane. English fans went to the Braves game last night. And they had a chant from Michael Harris in center field.
They just randomly picked him.
Picked Michael Harris.
They just picked a guy to celebrate.
Yeah.
Because they got to go to a baseball
game. You know how they do their songs.
Game.
Michael Harris is whatever, yeah. You know. And then the ball went right to him. I mean, it's just a routine fly ball, and they went nuts.
I love the English. I just love the English chants. Did you see the ones when they were yelling at Sweden? Your team is shit. But your birds are fit. They were yelling at it. At some location. Your team is, but your birds are fit. and their birds are fit.
Their team is bleep if not for Harry Kane.
Yeah,
they have looked.
Marcus
they have not
Rashford
looked good.
Is a booty scratch.
What?
He sucks. And former Evertonian Anthony Gordon had to come in and save it yesterday.
Oh, Anthony Gordon came in and saved it.
Well, yeah, he had that
actually
the pass to Harry Kane. Anthony Gordon was good. Watch, you'll see. Glenn Davis will tell you.
I saw
it. But also,
it.
who's the guy with the chin strap? I was like, this guy sucks.
Spence.
Yeah, and then Alec goes, yeah, he broke his jaw in the last game of the Premier League. He's playing with a broken jaw. That's why he's wearing that. So yeah. He goes, cut him some slack. I'm like, no. Does a broken jaw keep him from making better passes?
Well, he wasn't a really good player for Tottenham. He wasn't like the always first choice back. People are upset that a guy who plays for Real Madrid, Alexander Arnold, isn't on the roster. He could be helpful for England, but they get to go to Mexico. Look, I was here when that match started. I was rooting for the DR Congo. They got up early, but there is something to England having to go to Mexico.
Oh, yeah. You were saying it yesterday before the match started.
Yeah, the cinema of thinking of those English thinking they're the God's gift of football, having to go to Mexico to go win a game. Welcome to CONCACAF. Welcome. Now you know. Oh, if they ever even see a match in Azteca, who knows, just with the time difference. What's the big deal about that? We've got Wembley. We go to... But now, understand how difficult it's going to be to get a result in Azteca with the entire country on your back because this is...
From the night before.
Yeah, we're talking about what it means for us here. The Mexican fans, after 40 years of not being able to win a knockout round game, now they're one step away from a quarterfinal. And in England, a team that would never step foot in the Azteca, if not for this scenario, has to come to their building... Man, you better hope Harry Kane's a god because I don't know how they're winning that one. Everything is going to be on England's head, and that team isn't built for it. We'll see if Harry Kane can pull him out of the depths of hell like he did yesterday.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's break. Catch a quick one here.
Ooh, England is a small
Glenn
favorite.
Glenn Davis joins us at the top of the hour, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief. I'm bringing you golf, okay? I'm talking a little golf here. I want you to know that it is important that you play golf, that you enjoy, you love your golf, that you get out to Houston National and get out on the links, baby. Let's go. Let's play. It's awesome. We played our tournament over at Sterling, and right next door is Houston National, all part of the same all part of the same deal. And Houston National is awesome. And then right up 290, it's easy to get to. All you got to do is go up 290, and you got the Golf Club of Texas A&M. Wonderful course, ranked among the top public courses in Texas. Cypress Bend Golf Club. This is neat. All part of the Sterling Golf Group. You got Houston National Golf Club, Golf Club of Texas A&M, and Cypress Bend Golf Club. Cypress Bend is in Manning, Louisiana. It's right on Toledo Bend Lake. If you've never been to Toledo Bend, it is. We've been there. I don't even like fishing. We went, and it's beautiful. It really is. And they got a great golf course there. It's just 3 hours from Houston. You know, there's a lot. If you and your boys like to take a go and go play, four of you, eight of you, whatever it is, put this in your rotation. Cypress Bend Golf Club. You can play golf, and you know, it's a couple guys. You play 3 days. One day, somebody doesn't want to play. They want to go fishing. Go fishing. It's stay and play packages available. Three incredible courses, one standard. Visit sterlinggolf.com. That's Sterling with one G. Sterlinggolf.com. Book your next round today.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN Radio. Heated rivals face off in Los Angeles. The MLB leading Dodgers face Manny Machado and the San Diego Padres.
Grand slam for Manny Machado!
Game coverage begins Sunday at 5:30 on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
John, can we get one stadium song request in here? They want Collector's Firearms as a stadium song.
Man, I can't sleep without that song is in my head all the time.
It probably. That is the biggest earworm since 1-877 Cars for Kids. And also Trailer Wheel and Frame.
I mean, they got, I cannot get that song. I was this morning, I mean, holy crap. It's a
right
banger.
At the corner
it's
of
a banger, but it can't get it out of my head. Listen. But while all this, we'll talk a lot more World Cup with Glenn Davis coming up in about 20 minutes. I just don't understand this Jaylen Brown trade. Somebody's got to explain it.
Yeah, I don't understand this. Paul George is a dead man walking.
And picks.
Paul George is just, yeah, and picks.
Tell you what it is now beyond the financial implications.
Obviously don't like Jaylen Brown.
Although they don't save much money in the first couple of years. Paul George has a player option he's likely to exercise as well. Jaylen Brown's value has been in question for a while now. And when you throw the financial commitment any team has to make to him and the picks and players Boston actually wanted, everyone's like, nah, we're good.
No.
We're good. We don't want to do it. The Rockets, despite initial reports that they were in on him, didn't really get involved.
They got it out there to Zach Lowe like, not interested. Because Zach Lowe said that on the podcast.
Yeah, and Portland, who people thought he could go there because they had a nice year, they had picks and players that the Celtics might want, and why wouldn't they want Jaylen Brown? Portland, nah, we're fine. We don't do that either.
So Brian Windhorst says this trade was made under duress. This was not a trade that you would make in a clinical setting. You wouldn't do this trade under these circumstances if everything was equal, that something wasn't equal. It's like two cops forced you into signing a confession. I mean, the Celtics really were under duress?
I think it was duress from their own player. While Jaylen Brown didn't officially make a trade request, he had let it be known he wanted nothing to do with them anymore, it appears. And the Celtics weren't willing to try to. Maybe the bridge was too far gone anyway, but they didn't see a way to fix it. Because when you look at what they did with the trade, they would have been better off just keeping him.
Yeah,
because you didn't save. Like even if you had concerns about the money, because he was due for an extension, you could always say no. But for what's his salary and what remains. Paul George is nearly that anyway, except there's one less year on Paul George's contract. So they were put in a spot where their player made it really uncomfortable and clear that you weren't going to have a good time with me if I was still around. So they decided, you know what? We got to find a deal. And I think they're shocked by the fact that the league looked at his year last year, the history, the finals MVP and all that stuff. And they're like, you know what? Nah, we're not going to pay him $60+ million. And that's why they're stuck with Paul George.
Wow. But dude, I mean, Rockets couldn't give a couple of picks and I don't know. Who's comparable to Paul George? Hey, Paul George is done. I mean, what the hell? That's what you got for Jaylen Brown?
I mean, I get, okay, what's Jaylen Brown? What's his value? But it's got to be more than Paul George. Picks.
I mean, and
that's
something
Daryl Morey would have done is brought Paul George in.
Just
not
wait.
Brought Jaylen Brown.
Well, he did bring Paul George in.
No, I know. Like this is a Daryl move.
Daryl's been fired.
No, I know.
But Daryl brought Paul George in.
The flip side is,
but he didn't give up assets for him. He just paid him.
But Daryl also hates draft picks. So.
But he didn't trade. Paul George was a free agent and brought him in.
Right.
That was supposed to be their big move.
Right. But when I see
out.
A move like this, I think of something like this is something Daryl would do that doesn't make any sense. That really baffled me when I saw this. I was like, what else is coming? There's got to be something else here. Yeah, there's a lot of movement right now going on in the NBA. A lot of movement. Think about that.
But why didn't you wait until you got something better? I know you've been trying to move him, but somebody might have folded and said, you know what, let's go get Jaylen Brown.
Isn't this the Anthony Davis?
We'll give you more than Paul George. Yeah.
What leverage did the Celtics have to get someone to fold?
Well, just wait. You don't have to do it now.
I get that. I'm not saying they should have done it. It's obviously a bad return. But their leverage would have decreased as they got closer to the year because everyone would have known, you don't want this guy back. You've been trying to trade him all summer. And people just sit and wait. I assume Portland might have made a move if they didn't have to give up anything. Like, yeah, we'll give you a pick. You want to take Jeremy Grant back, one of our bad contracts? Although he's still on the roster. Go ahead, take him. You want to take our bad contract, we'll take your problem. And give you maybe a pick to make you feel a little bit better. I think that's what the Celtics were dealing with, where teams knew they were in real trouble and were offering them nothing as far as the young player plus picks things that you look at when you trade a star. They're like the Pelicans in the mud, a team that has done nothing. You can't have Trey Murphy and Herb Jones. No, we'd rather keep our young guys whose salaries are more cost controlled than bring in your guy. And you're going to want picks too? Nah, we're good.
Well, Jaylen Brown.
You want Zion? Here, take him.
I don't know. Is Jaylen Brown not a, what the hell?
The NBA is telling you.
The league is
telling you what they think of him.
Yep, I guess. Holy crap. I'd like to have Jaylen Brown on my team. He's good. I mean, Durant, Jaylen Brown, Alpi, Amen, and Marcus Smart, I guess, and Bruce Thornton. That would have been fine. Are you telling me Jabari and Reed Shepard and a pick, that's better than Paul George? That's way better than Paul George.
I don't know. I don't know that we – obviously the Rockets didn't want him.
Apparently they did for a while. And
what was the deal with – I've heard that the Celtics turned down the opportunity to get Giannis and Jaylen. Like
they decided that – players named Hugo Gonzalez and Baylor Shireman
were untouchable.
Wow.
So you put your star player out there where everyone knows you're trying to trade him, and we know he's a little sensitive to things like this. He knows you're trying to trade him, and the reason you didn't do it is because Hugo Gonzalez you deemed untouchable, a guy who played 77 games, averaged 3.4 points per game or something like that.
3.4.
You can't touch him.
How are you going to get rid of that?
You can't. Now he can be unleashed next to Paul George, I guess.
What was your point differential on the season? Maybe around 3.4. So you don't have those wins.
I think it was it 3.4? I feel like the Celtics had it.
But it sounds like it could be.
I'm glad the Celtics torpedoed one of the more successful duos in the last decade over Hugo Gonzalez.
Oh my
Seems
God.
Like a great move. So much so that Brad Stevens recently voted executive of the year. People are asking if he got a lobotomy.
Now Philadelphia is in the mix for LeBron, apparently.
Is that
Cleveland
real?
Cleveland is the favorite, according to Kalshi.
Kalshi's got Cleveland, which I thought it was kind of a settled Golden State thing with LeBron.
Yeah, well, when so Draymond opts out, you just assume.
A lot more respect for him if he goes back to Cleveland, which is home base. I mean, three times there, but a lot more respect. Kind of like the Corey Brewer of Cleveland, where he just keeps showing up at Cleveland. So a lot more respect for him if he goes to Cleveland instead of tries to pull a ring chase.
It's not a ring chase at Golden State. Like, that is not a good basketball situation. They're old.
No. You could envision it as a ring chase. You got pretty good players. They're just old. And old players don't congregate together and win championships. It just doesn't happen. Don't tell me about the Celtics. Those guys were still, they weren't 41 years old. So the Celtics were still young enough to be a quality team. You ain't beating the best of the best in the West with a bunch of olds. That's just not happening in Golden State. I would think you'd have a better shot in L.A., frankly, if they could make another move.
Well, that path has been closed. He said, I'll come back if you give me the max. They said no. Now he'll take far less than that from other places, but he was not taking less than that from L.A.
Did you see? We had a social experiment we talked about L.A. trying to win with a bunch of white guys.
Mm-hmm. We got Stephen A. We can play
Stephen
him
A. jumped in on that, and that's caused
that's
a little...
That's this show that's does a,
we,
that, we, not we, Stephen
we
A.
Did this. We
He's
did.
Taking our
did
bit.
This. Stop stealing our bit.
Yep. And you need to head to Tacarizo around us for, a lot of good games to watch. A
lot of good games. Mexico versus... I'm going to Tacarizo around us to watch Mexico-England. I've watched it with English fans. I want to watch it with Mexican fans. That's what I want to do now. And I'm going to talk to Sal and find out the best spot for the watch party. And I'll tell you guys where it is. You guys can come and join me, too. Better get there early. I can tell you that much. With Taqueria Sarandas, you know, posting up early is not a problem. Go get your spot and go grab dinner. Grab yourself some authentic Mexican food that is really priced very affordably. And that's something that you can't say about a lot of Mexican food now, and especially the Tex-Mex, if you get that, which is not the same thing. But the prices have skyrocketed. Tacos Rondas still treats your wallet with kindness. So you can get big portions, great food, and you get them at very reasonable prices. There's locations all over the city of Houston waiting for you. Stop in, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Get authentic Mexican food at very fair prices. And you can watch your World Cup soccer at any of the locations. They'll always be on the television. It's TacariaSarandas.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
We got Clint Davis coming up in just a couple of minutes. We haven't even mentioned the Astros. They lost. Move along. Nothing to see here. Well, Imai didn't even last two innings.
Imai was back.
Inning
in
a third.
That's a tough time for that Chandler Rome. Look how comfortable he is, article to come out.
Yep. He came out the day before, and he looked really bad. Really bad. He's getting used to now Stephen Okert and Bryce Matthews. They all have handshakes for him and bows, and they do all and fun stuff, and he's feeling more comfortable, and then slap, 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 slap. He got slapped around last night. And the Astros lost 8-3, and lost the first series in six series. Lost for the first time. Got the day off today, so they get to hang out today in the city of Houston. It's always nice to have a home and during a homestand, have a day off, so that they got Tampa Bay coming in now this weekend. That's a pretty good team. Arrigetti, Brown, and Lambert. Arrigetti. I don't know.
It's July, right?
I don't know.
It's July. Why?
The month is over. His awful month
is
July,
over. Oh, July. That's right.
So he can get back to being normal.
Fine.
Right?
Finally. Well,
I don't know what normal is with him.
That's true.
Hopefully it's May.
I think normal is 4.8 ERA. That's normal.
That's not what I'm looking for.
Well,
yeah. May was awesome.
But because he either looks great or he looks like crap. That's him. That's it. What are you going to do? That's it. So that's the problem. You got Arrigetti, Hunter, who hasn't been as dominant as, you know, we're used to Hunter, and then Lambert, who got slapped around his last outing. So just three series left before the All-Star break. Three series left before the All-Star break. I guess Jordan is our only All-Star?
Yeah, Hader hadn't been here long enough.
Arrigetti ruined that for himself.
He ruined that.
Yeah, he's ruined now.
Hunter Brown hasn't been around enough. Jeremy hasn't been around enough. Jeremy has the highest WAR of American League shortstops, but can't stay healthy.
No, it's just Jordan. We don't have to think too long.
And that Walker batting average is under 240.
I would think
now.
They would want Hader. I would think Hader's got a chance.
Has he pitched enough?
Yeah. I mean, he missed the first 2 months.
Does he have to pitch in 63 games? Is that?
I don't know what the rule is, but Christian Walker felt like he was that, but that has tailed off. And we can pretty much look to see him not play in the next game. Now, he left last night with a stiff back.
Collectors.
He didn't seem concerned, but we'll see if he is in the lineup tomorrow. He's not concerned, so maybe he'll play on Friday. But that really doesn't matter what the player thinks. The players have been wrong about their potential absences before. So just be on the lookout for Christian Walker on his back.
Oh, great.
Sounds
awesome.
What else happened? We had Jaylen Brown in. We got the Astros in. We even got the flag on top of the building. Do you want to play Stephen A. real quick?
Do you want? I feel like this show would spend a great deal of time on that. And then we have Glenn Davis. So maybe we wait. Let's get to Glenn Davis on time. I know you're.
We got a lot to talk about.
We got
Glenn
a lot
Davis.
To talk about with him, and then we can get to Stephen A. suggesting that a team full of white guys can't win an NBA title.
Yeah,
we can spend quite a bit of time on that.
Yes, racist, but we can take a break right here.
He called them a bunch of disgraceful whites. No, he didn't do that.
Disgraceful. Shambolic whites.
He didn't do that. Why? I'm waiting for somebody to come out and say the Ravens can never win with all those black quarterbacks that they have.
Well, Danny Cannell tried to get into that. He didn't say it, but he goes, could you imagine? Danny, we know what you're saying. No white guy who wants his job is ever going to say something like that. Don't worry
about
it.
That's the truth.
Don't worry about it, Danny. We get it.
I get it.
We all get it. It's different standards. Standards even.
Who was the soccer commentator?
We're making jokes about it, too, because we know that.
Who was the soccer commentator from one of those Euro countries that was talking about the black players at the end of games? And
well, that was the head coach of Belgium said that. We know what these teams are like when it gets down. Now, he didn't specify, but people are, what do you mean, these teams?
Say those teams?
He goes, we know what these teams do in these situations, but we got to go to break.
We got a break. And if you or someone you care about searching for a stable, meaningful career, I got one for you. The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 66 in Houston, wants to talk to you, okay? 125 years, IBEW Local 66 supported the skilled men and women who build, maintain, and operate the electrical grid here. With more than 4,800 members, it's a community built on craftsmanship, safety, and opportunity. Look, I don't know what your job is. Do you have college education? Do you know anything about working electricity? Maybe you don't. But listen, IBEW 66, they'll listen to you. You go in there and listen, they'll train you. Classroom learning, paid on the job training, nationally recognized career. You earn while you learn. High wages, full family health insurance, retirement planning, peace of mind that comes with a strong support system. 4,800 members, been around for 125 years. They ain't going nowhere. And it is a great career. So if you're stuck in a dead-end job or you know somebody just out of college or out of the military or whatever, and they're looking for something, some stability in their life, 713-943-0716, 713-943-0716, IBEW66.com, IBEW Local 66, powering careers, powering the future.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.